The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the guests and not necessarily those of KICI Radio or Extend the Dream Foundation.
Hello and welcome to the Situation Room. In this program, KICI takes a look at issues affecting our community. Segments are broadcast throughout the week and also on our SoundCloud site and Facebook page.
Once again, today we welcome Nicholas Johnson, retired from teaching law at the University of Iowa. He has held a number of positions in the federal government, including Federal Communications Commissioner in the Lyndon B. Johnson administration. Today, Nicholas Johnson is here to talk with us again about a topic that's been making rather ominous headlines in the news. From his article published in the Gazette April 18th, is AI, artificial intelligence, your friend? He says we are using artificial intelligence more than we realize. Well, I have a number of questions, especially since you mentioned things like Google Maps and applications that some of us have found less than perfect. But I'll let you get started with your assessment.
Okay, thank you, Ollie. Good to be back with you again. There are about five things I'd like to cover, most of which can be done quickly. I'd like to say something about differences of degree and differences of kind, and then which is artificial intelligence? What is AI? What are AI's benefits? What are their possible dangers? And what can we do about it? Okay, by differences of degree and kind in measuring AI, a difference in kind would be the wheel, electricity, the horseless carriage, broadcasting, computers, whereas a difference of degree might be windows that you can automatically roll down on a car, which is simply not as significant. Now, which is artificial intelligence? Well, based on the science fiction writing about it and the extremes that some of the folks who are offering AI have in mind, it would definitely be a difference of kind. But right now, it's not as close to that as the media may have reported. We're all familiar with a Google search that can be done in a matter of seconds, surveying billions of documents and bringing back the one that we're looking for. But clearly AI is a little more than that. And as you mentioned, there are lots of things that we might try to sort out and figure whether they're AI or not. Google Maps will talk you to your destination and explain how to correct for your missing a turn. Google Translate enables you to read and write in languages you don't know. Amazon's Alexa will answer questions, follow your orders. Facebook will match you with others who share your opinions. Robotics can vacuum your living room. They can fill your Amazon Prime box and send it on its way to you. And robotics can build automobiles. But those are sort of repeat operations, many of them, that most would not think are necessarily artificial intelligence involved. There's washing machines, for example. You can program in different ways, and they'll do what you program them to do. But there's a real difference between that and a self-driving car that could look out for hazards, speed up, slow down, change lanes, brake. Evaluating the environment and making decisions based on that evaluation, which in some cases are much better than those that humans make, and other occasions aren't as good. One of the things you can do with AI is, and we'll get to the implications of this in a moment, is you can ask it to do things. For example, I this morning, just for the heck of it, Microsoft's Bing is one of these AI operations. And I said to it, write me a poem about artificial intelligence. And it came back with one. Artificial intelligence, a creation of man, a machine that thinks and does what it can. It learns and adapts and grows with each day. It's a tool for our use in every single way. It can help us create and solve problems too. It can even write poems, just like this one for you. But as it grows smarter and learns more each day, we must be careful and watch what we say. For it's still just a machine. And though it may seem smart, it can never replace the human heart. So now that's something that Google could not create for you. It could find you a poem or find you information about poets, but it couldn't do that. Just hitting on some of AI's benefits and dangers, a major impact is on employment. There are estimates that we may lose as much as 85 million jobs as a result of AI. There are precedents of this for much less sophisticated computer operations. It used to be that if you wanted to make a long distance or often even local phone call, you needed to go through a switchboard operated by the telephone company with individuals there. I remember when my mother used to call her sister up in Northwest Iowa, and the operator up there would say, well, Edna, I don't think she's at the house. I think I saw her walking across the street to the hardware store. Do you want me to send your call in there? When we went to direct dial, we can now dial any telephone number in the world, not to mention in our own communities. Some 350,000 switchboard operators lost their jobs. They were no longer necessary. When automatic teller machines came along that can actually dispense to you the amount of money that you're requesting and that goes on your debit or credit card, the number of tellers in each bank was very significantly reduced. This has already had an impact on manufacturing and marketing and medicine. It used to be you were reliant for a diagnosis on the training and experience that your doctor had in people with comparable symptoms. Well, now that doctor can have as a resource, not just his or her own experience, but the results in a million or more diagnoses of similar or exactly what you've got. So that may lay off some people, but it's also going to provide better quality health care for many of us. The next to go after medicine will be accounting and law. We have in the law, after the students graduate from law school, they take a bar exam, and some of this is standardized throughout the country. And recently, one of these AI operations was asked to take a bar exam. And it actually passed on torts and evidence. Had it done as well on the other subjects, it could have been admitted to the bar. And I don't know what we would do with a law firm made up only of an artificial intelligence program. But that's not going to be a problem for me to have to deal with. There's been a lot of talk about the impact on schools, elementary, secondary, colleges, and universities. Are all having to figure out what to do. Some professors are bringing AI into the classroom and having the students use it and learn from it. Others are trying to forbid it, which is very difficult to do because an AI program can not only write an exam for students to take, but as I've just mentioned, it can take the exam, and if it can write the exam and take the exam, it can also grade the exam. The first IBM guy I ever met, almost 60 years ago or more, and I asked him, what can you do with these computers? And he said, you remind me of a friend who goes into a restaurant, looks at the menu, and says, what goes good with French fries? He said, you tell me what you wanted to do, and I'll either show you a machine that can do it now, or we'll be able to do that in 6 months. Well, he didn't show me a machine that could grade my law students' essay exams, but today he could. And so that's a major thing that schools are going to have to deal with. When I was teaching law, we had a program called Turnitin, which was not exactly artificial intelligence, but it enabled you to run a student paper through the program, and it would come back marked up with material that was taken from other articles or indeed other students' papers. But students figured out ways to beat that. And now they're having to figure out ways to beat the AI ability, which is even greater. So those are some of the impacts. Others, in some ways, the most serious are autonomous weapons of war. The AI can identify the enemy and then choose from among its various weapons that it controls which one to use and then kill people. We're doing a bit of that already, but not to the extent that it could be done. There are questions of privacy and security. The Chinese have done a lot with facial recognition. We're doing that as well. There are problems we're already familiar with social media and the ability to build silos of people who hold the same views that may be fed by misinformation and propaganda. And to that, we now add artificial intelligence's ability to create what are called deep fakes, where you can create the image of a person and have that person speak in the voice of that person in a video that person never, in fact, was ever videotaped doing. And the potential for that in political campaigns is really scary when you can actually have your opponent saying things that will cause your opponent to lose votes. So that leaves us with the question of what can we do about this? And the best analogy I can think of is what the newly appointed director of the Human Genome Project said on his first day in office, because studying the human genome produced a lot of potential evil. And he said, what we must establish is an ELSI program. And ELSI was short for Ethical, Legal, and Social Issues. At a minimum, that's what we need for artificial intelligence. What are the ethical and legal and social issues that have already been raised and will in the future be raised by what we can predict artificial intelligence will be able to do? And actually, to the surprise of many, 1,000 to 2,000 of those who are now involved in creating and marketing artificial intelligence programs recently called for a stop to any further development of this technology until we've done the equivalent of an ELSI analysis of what the potential risks are. Because at this point, they are simply unknown. We're discovering them as they come up and as they occur. Well, that's kind of a long-winded introduction, but it's a range of the topics that I think would be not only of interest, but of importance to our audience.
Well, you bring up several different types of functionalities, and you mentioned there's a type of degree of what you can use these for. As someone who has had Google Maps steer me in the opposite direction, I think if this is what artificial intelligence is, may God have mercy on all of us. I'm sure I'm not the only person that's run into this kind of thing. So part of the problem has to do with how well something is actually designed. But something I've called intentionality, which I think shows up in the example you gave from Bing. Bing comes up with this very nice poem about artificial intelligence, how nice it is. But then the very last line is how it doesn't have a human heart. And I think, well, somebody decided to make sure that the artificial intelligence knew to say that. So unless we have developed self-awareness and the intelligence is lying, somebody has intentionally tried to program some kind of value into that. And it strikes me as what we're looking at is human values and how that might be missing, or how that could actually steer the kind of development and the kind of intelligence you get, as well as commercial influences. Is a second concern of mine. I remember when Google and other search engines were first coming online and how useful they could be. Now you Google something, it's become its own verb. So you Google something and you get a bunch of sites going to other sites that rate whatever you're trying to look into. And it takes a while to actually get to the source of the, you know, the website that you really want. So commercial interests have a great impact on what you get through search engines, unless it's something like, say, JSTOR or something where you have a subscription to something and they're more moderated. But otherwise, you're kind of at the mercy of what search engine optimization program you have. I'm wondering if you've given thought to that, or if that's part of what you're looking into in your study of AI here.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's all very prescient of you. There is similarity between what we're already living with and able to do and so forth, and AI. One of the sort of analogous problems that has been pointed out is that the people who are creating these programs of AI are by and large wealthy white males who do not suffer from any disabilities. And that brings a kind of bias into how this is designed, in ways that for most of them, I would hope and guess, is totally beyond their ever having thought about it. But there are biases that get into the program with regard to minorities and the poor and people with disabilities and so forth. And so that's another problem.
So the question is, what do you do about this potential problem? You mentioned LC and you mentioned potential legislation and technology to limit the danger. It also struck me, as you were talking about weapons of war, they could possibly all be programmed to shut down one another, and maybe that might be a beneficial development. Is there legislation, perhaps a worldwide global series of standards to regulate this kind of technology?
I think there will be more of that kind of thing, because this is clearly an international issue. There's no way that a single nation can control this. But you remind me of the movie War Games, where the computer was designed to play out a number of war games as the, I don't know how much I can reveal that's not already publicly known, but the Defense Department has programmed an enormous number of possible scenarios and what to do in terms of those scenarios. And that was what this, they wanted to, quote, get the human out of the loop and leave it to the computer. And a kid was involved who had gotten into this. And as a result of what he did, the computer was in a countdown to actually starting global nuclear war. And the planes were on alert and the rockets were on alert and whatever. And finally, actually, there was a bit of artificial intelligence used that was not identified as such at that time. I don't remember 50 years ago how old this film is. So the kid said, ask it to play tic-tac-toe. And so it started playing tic-tac-toe, and it never could win at tic-tac-toe. And so finally, a brief time before the whole world was going to be blown up, the computer said, a funny game. The only way to win is not to play. And so I thought that was a great bit of wisdom. In other words, nobody wins a war. Everybody loses. But the computer taught itself that by playing the tic-tac-toe game and then applying that knowledge to what it was engaged in about to start. The other movie is the one where the computer is asked to do something and replies, "Dave, I'm sorry, I can't do that." We're now talking about artificial intelligence. I remember a conference I went to at UCLA, back in the 60s or 70s, on artificial intelligence, as it then referred to artificial intelligence. And they had little buttons you could wear, said artificial intelligence is better than none. And to some extent, of course, that's true. But the problem is, what if artificial intelligence becomes better than human intelligence? It certainly is already faster than human intelligence. But what artificial intelligence is doing is teaching itself in ways that make it, if we want to use the word, smarter and smarter, as well as faster and faster, so that it would not have to be programmed with a poem that it comes up with. It knows what a poem is. It knows what artificial intelligence is. It knows how poems rhyme. And it can learn all of this, like another movie, Short Circuit. It can learn incredibly fast compared to humans and create understandings that humans don't have, that humans have not put into it. So the base it has to call upon is the same base as Google calls upon. If it's not available out there as a video or a still photo or a poem or a novel or a textbook or an official government report or whatever, the artificial intelligence can imagine such a thing based on what is out there, but it can't utilize something that isn't there. So that is one limitation. What it can do is not limited by what humans have told it to do. What it can draw upon is limited by what humans have made available.
We're speaking with Nicholas Johnson, and he is talking about artificial intelligence, AI. He's written an article in the Gazette published in April, and we're getting close to the end of our time. Is there anything else you'd like to comment on this subject?
Well, there's not much to add. If they want to go back and re-listen to this and take notes and have questions, they can always contact me at mailbox@nicholasjohnson.org.
And of course, we might just put the question into Bing and it will come up with all the answers that you've just given us. Thank you. We've been speaking with Nicholas Johnson, retired from teaching law at the University of Iowa. He is the author of many articles, essays, and books, and you can find more of his writings on the blog From DC to Iowa. That's from DC, number two, iowa.blogspot.com and nicholasjohnson.org. So Nicholas Johnson, thank you for your commentary once again, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Holly. It's always great to be with you.
You've been listening to The Situation Room. These segments are broadcast throughout the week, and we also upload them to our SoundCloud site and post the links and links to more resources on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ICLocalRadio. Or in the Facebook search bar, enter KICI Iowa City Local Radio. If you have suggestions, questions, or information, email us at info@kiciradio.org. I'm Holly Hart for KICILP 105.3 FM, Iowa City.